Hello there, a very warm welcome to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look ahead to the final day of Glorious Goodwood on Saturday are Tom Collins and Keith Melrose. Five races on ITV bring down the curtain on what's been a fantastic festival. It's been so lovely to have crowds back. We've had great racing, great stories. Lady Beaufort, that really was magnificent. Let's see who the boys fancy on Saturday. We'll start with the 1:20. It's an early start on ITV4 for the Thames Materials Handicap. Oh, blimey, hang on a sec. I need some odds. Let's have a look. Right then, these are approximate best prices. Quintilus is 100-30. Spirit of Bermuda is 9-2. And then we've got Master Zoffany at 9-2. Just Frank 7. Dark Shift 7. 9-1 Bar. Looks a tricky enough start, so we'll give Keith the first crack at solving it.
This is the race that I'm probably going to tap out of this week, Bruce. I nearly put up Red Mirage. I think he's got quite a lot of ability. The last two runs have been poor, and you can sometimes write them off for Martin Johnson, but it was a bit of a stretch, and you're taking a chance. Obviously, we don't say forced to have a bet, and I don't think I will back this horse. There is a temptation there, but I'm officially no bet.
Jolly good, Tom.
Well, there's going to be a fast gallop in here with Just Frank, Red Mirage, Spirit of Bermuda, etc. in the field. I think they're going to go red sectionals early. That's going to suit Master Zoffany and Quintilus, who's my selection, albeit he is favourite. He was extremely promising as a two-year-old. He bolted up, beating Run to Freedom, who's in this field as well, at Kempton in a good time on his second start. Hung badly on his next two runs, but then he underwent a gelding operation and was much better in the Britannia, ran in a straight line, albeit he was actually carried across by the winner, Perotto, that day. Finished third, very good run, first time back off a layoff. He made his move really early as well, from 5 furlongs to 4 furlongs out. He boasted the quickest sectional in the field. Unsurprisingly, failed to sustain that run in the final 100 yards, where he kind of flattened out a little bit, and it was passed by Liffey Rither. But his pedigree suggests that soft ground will suit, and I reckon he can bounce back here. So Quintilus for me.
Righty-ho, if you thought that was difficult, let's have a crack at the 1:55. It's the Unibet Stewards Sprint Handicap, a consolation race for the Stewards Cup, over 6 furlongs, just the 28 runners. First Folio, very strong favourite though for James Ferguson at 9-2, and then we've got Power Over Me at 15-2. Music Society is 8s, it's 11s, Royal Scimitar, and it's 14s Bar. Again, these are guide prices, and as we always say on the show, check for best prices, but also best place terms. There will be some bookmakers paying all sorts of fancy place terms in this, so don't miss out on that. Tom, is it possible to be confident in a race like this?
I don't think so, though saying that, my nap's going to be in the Stewards' Cup, so I'm kind of being a bit hypocritical here. This race, I can make a case for a few. Obviously, First Folio is coming here instead of the main Stewards' Cup. He didn't get into that field. Treacherous is interesting as he comes back to try and retain his crown. But he doesn't do a jot in front, and that kind of put me off him. I'm going to be a Boundless Power. This race often suits those that are held up. It's run at a fast clip, and those that come from behind and have a high cruising speed and a good acceleration often benefit from that. Boundless Power is that horse. He's been a dramatic improver for Mick Appleby since coming across from Jimmy Feen's yard in Ireland. Really high cruising speed. Showed that when an unlucky fifth last time in Heritage Handicap at Ascot. Prior to that, he was a very impressive winner. I think the step up to 6 and a fast pace will suit him. And I like his draw. So Boundless Power around 16-1, I think, is a very good price with the enhanced each-way terms.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Tom. Keith, what is your view of this?
Yeah, it's very hard, isn't it? And there's quite a few you can make the case for. You would actually suggest that, you know, this is a handicap with a 98 ceiling. You don't have these exposed nearly group horses in there like you do in the Stewards' Cup. It can actually be more competitive sometimes, a consolation race. And you're right, no massively confident selections, but you get these each-way place terms and you want to be having a go at that. It's Royal Scimitar's one I'm putting up. He's only just come back to sprint trips. He was a really useful juvenile, actually, and he finished fourth in the Acom and fourth at the Flying Scotsman, which is an increasingly strong race at Donny. But he's come back to 6th last time in the Heritage Handicap at the July meeting. He was on the near side that day. He won that side and was gaining all the time at the line to behind Blackrod. It's whether if he can keep up this time, and you know he has got a lot of speed, and if he can keep up, I just can't see him out in the first 4 or 5. I think he's still very well handicapped of 95.
Righty-ho, if you go to Skybet, you can get 7 places. The only drawback with that is that I don't think when they offer those lovely 7 places, you get the best odds guarantee. So there's decisions to make, not just on which horse you back, but who you back it with. Let's look now at the 2:30. It's the summer handicap over a mile and six furlongs. Prices in just a jiffy when my phone decides to behave. Here we go then. 9-2 Nuit Saint-Georges, 11-2 My Frankel, 15-2 Win O'Clock, 8-1 Ade and Prince Alex, 9-1. Loads of others. This is really close. The Outsider is only 18-1, and there's 13 runners, 14 runners. So it's a really wide opener. Blimey, it's a tricky old punting card, this, isn't it, Keith?
Certainly is. Yeah, there's a look at this, and there's no max bets on this card as far as I'm concerned. It is all very, very tough.
But
this is
you like a long distance flat race with a few decent horses in, so I'm expecting you to come up trumps here. No pressure.
Oh, absolutely no. And this happens to be a race where, you know, I've got some strong factors. It's a race where I would expect to have a really strong fancy, and I don't particularly, to be quite honest, I would have been very keen on Prince Alex, but I don't particularly like that change from Rafe Beckett to Michael Bell since his last run in July. That doesn't strike me as the best preparation for this, so I'm just going to err towards a horse that still is with Beckett, Future Investment. He should have won at Ascot last time. It was the day after Prince Alex ran at the July meeting. He was no second to Vindolanda, but that winner got the jump on them. And it was, but for that, Future Investment would have won. He's only £2 higher now. That was a career best effort anyway. And yeah, I think in a very open race, he's the one I'm most interested in at the prices. You can get double figures.
Future Investment is Keith's selection. Who's Tom's selection?
Well, to coin a sweet spot phrase, the last off my list was Prince Alex, so I'm glad that Keith mentioned him. the number one pick is going to be On to Victory, who you can also get a double figure price about. He has to carry 9 stone 10, which obviously isn't easy in a staying handicap like this. But he's a dual purpose performer. We know he can carry a big weight. His recent runner up effort behind Huckham was a clear career best, in my opinion. And given he's a 7-year-old now, that's quite a surprise. He's still improving. He's obviously goes well at Goodwood. That race came at Goodwood. The step up to a mile six will suit. And Alan King's had a brilliant meeting with Trushan and Asymmetric winning group races so far. So I think On to Victory can run a good race and maybe hit the frame at a double figure price.
Okay, thanks, chaps. We'll take a very quick break and then we're back for Wonderful Tonight.
Here at Racing Post, we've got a glorious offer for Goodwood this week. If you take out a yearly subscription to Members Club Ultimate with the code GOODYEAR, you will get 20% off the already discounted price for your first year, saving over £140. That's code GOODYEAR, all one word. GOODYEAR, for £140 off your first year of Members Club Ultimate.
Welcome back to part two of the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. Bruce Millington, Tom Collins and Keith Merrow is looking at two absolute crackers at Goodwood, starting with the 3:05 on Saturday, the Qatar Lily Langtry Stakes. It's a group two for fillies and mares over a mile and six. And Wonderful Tonight, who gets pulled out quite a bit when it gets firm. Hopefully we'll have no excuse. There's lots of rain. There's a bit of cut in the ground and she's 4-6. Alba Flora 5-1, Believe in Love 9-1, Tribal Craft and Divinely 12-1, 14 bar. Is this quite simple, Tom? Does Wonderful Tonight just win?
Yeah, I think so. If she repeats her victory in the Hardwick, the same kind of performance, then she'll win this race. The Hardwick was a group one race. She was against the boys and she won that pretty decisively. Obviously, she's going to need the ground. The rain is likely to come, although it's currently good, I think, at the moment at Goodwood. If the ground comes for her, Wonderful Tonight should win this race. But I don't think it's a very good betting heat. I personally won't be punting in the race. Alba Flora is an intriguing runner. I really liked her when she won Ascot earlier this year. I think she can win a group one on testing conditions. But her price is about right as well. So I'll be leaving this one, I think, Bruce.
Tom, can Wonderful Tonight win the Arc?
Good question. Look, if the ground gets very testing, then maybe. I think the 3-year-olds are better than Wonderful Tonight. And obviously, you need to know who's going to go there from Charlie Appleby, maybe both Adiyar and Hurricane Lane. It's going to be a great race. Hopefully, Wonderful Tonight does turn up in the Arc as well, because she adds a different dimension. I won't be with her in the Arc, though I do think she'll be well punted, especially if she wins this Lily Langtry pretty cosily.
Absolutely. And Keith, before we get onto the Lily Langtry, who's best, Hurricane Lane or Adiyar from an Arc perspective?
Oh, from an Arc is probably the best neutral venue to have them both. I would still err towards Hurricane Lane. I think he's slightly quicker. I do think he's slightly better, but there isn't much in it at an Arc distance. If he met over a mile two, definitely Hurricane Lane, but the Arc would be mouth-watering, I think.
It certainly would. Meanwhile, the Lily Langtry, does that water your mouth?
It's a race where I'm going to stretch to a bet because I do think it is just about right in terms of the disparity in prices. Alba Flora's best form, which is a run at Ascot that Tom referred to, does give her more of a chance against Wonderful tonight than the prices would suggest. She beat Tribal Craft 7 lengths, and 2 weeks later that horse ran the race of her life to win the Bronte Cup at York. So there's, even though there's a little bit of that still stands out in Alba Flora's record, there's credibility behind it. And on that basis, you know, she's never tried a mile, she's only tried once a mile six so far. She was beaten by Berkshire Rocco. But she should, on her dam side of her pedigree, she's by Muhara. Her dam side, she's typical of the rousing bred horses, really stout on that side, should really stay a mile six. And yeah, I think the prices as they are just about give the room to back Alba Flora against Wonderful tonight.
Okay, righty-ho, 340, the Unibet Stewards Cup over 6 furlongs, 28 runners. Fresh is the favourite at 6-1. Kieran Schumer looking to put the icing on a very nice Goodwood cake. 7-1 Hurricane Ivor, 11 Chill Chill, 11 Comanche Falls, 11 Chief of Chiefs, 12 Edge Talab, 14-1 the lovely Summer Gand who won it last year, 14 Punch Bowl Flyer, 14 Meraz and Bielsa and Great Ambassador, blah, blah, blah. Loads of them, all with good chances. Who is going to be the one that crosses the line in front, Keith?
Well, as with the first, the consolation, you're not going to be hugely confident. I'm going to be keeping the faith with Zarzini, who's a horse that I put up and I was price-wise the weekend. He finished second at Musselburgh, beating a short head. He's a horse that, the reason I put him up is I thought David Barron is having a better year now than he did last year. And this horse had a lot of improvement to come. Second at Musselburgh, then went over to the Curragh and blobbed, but has since won at Red's Car. He gets a £6 penalty for that, and I think that's why he's 16-1. But he's still a progressive horse. He'll need to improve, but I think he very much can. I think he got that penalty just to get in this race more than anything else. So Zarzini for me, but you know, you're not having maximum bets on any of these because it is such a competitive race, but he's a horse that I think can still improve further.
Cheers, Keith. The favourite, Tom, is Fresh, to quote Cool and the Gang. Is he fresh? Exciting, or are you going to go with something else?
I'm going to go with something else, though I can see the reason for backing Fresh. He's just a bit short in the market now, around 7-1 in a very competitive race. I've been all over Miras for the last week and a half. In fact, last year, when he finished sixth in this race, I think I tweeted straight away and said he'll win this race this year. So I've kind of got to stick to my guns with Miras. It's been a bit disappointing twice this year so far. But he's had two quick runs in a Mark Johnson kind of style that suggests he's being primed for this. He had wind surgery and a gelding operation in the off-season. He's running off £3 lower this year than he did last year. He came in this race last year as a three-year-old. We have seen a few three-year-olds win in this race, but it's a tough race for a three-year-old to win. He was drawn poorly in stall sixth, well punted into 11-2, and actually led until 150 yards to go when he was picked up by Summer Gand and the like. I think this draw in 24 is much better for him. £3 lower, Ryan Moore booked. Hopefully he can get a lead as well rather than try and make all. And he's a great each-way price at 16-1. He's one of my better bets of the day.
Thank you very much, chaps. That was Goodwood. Let's do Newmarket next.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion. Live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Welcome back. Let's look at the two ITV races at Newmarket on Saturday, 2:10. European Bloodstock News, British EBF Fillies Nursery over 6 furlongs. Let's see if we've got prices for this. Bear with me, gang. Hang on. 2:10. Right then, let's see. Yeah, 9-2 Symphony Perfect, 6-1 Dora Penny, 15-2 Eternal Glory, 8-1 Lady Airsome and Cashew, 9-1 Bar. Tom, have you managed to solve this?
God, I don't know about that. This is a very tough and wide open nursery. As nurseries go, nurseries aren't easy at the best of times, but this is wide open. I have no strong opinion. I've sided with Eternal Glory for trainer Mark Johnson. He's won the race for the last 2 years. She's a classic two-year-old improver for the stable. I think she's going to relish the stiff finish on the July course, which is what led me to go with her. She's been really strong at the finish last twice at Pontefract and Hamilton, and the uphill final furlong at Newmarket should suit. She's up £4 for her latest defeat, which obviously isn't a plus, but Eternal Glory had the most ticks in the boxes for me in a very tough race.
It does look tough, Keith, doesn't it?
It is tough. I think I might have found one at a price that I'm quite keen to back. It's not guaranteed in these nurseries. but they've got a horse here called Between the Sheets. Michael Beller trained and Hayley Turner rides, and she ran well in her first start in a quite a warm Ascot Fillies maiden in May, and has run not that well twice since. But there's been excuses. She's been slowly away. She's not had much room. She's spread a plate on one of the occasions. But she's had 6 weeks off, after that, and she's got probably a lower mark than she might have deserved if she'd just gone handicapping straight after her first run. Obviously, you can't do that, but you know what I mean. After time, they might be a little bit easier on them, given that the good run was the first one. She's a half-sister to Miss Amulet, who was second in the Cheveley Park last year, so quite a good pedigree and quite a good chance to improve here. Marcus 72 is generous just on the Ascot run. And if the 6 weeks, if she's grown up a little bit in that 6 weeks break since her last run, then I think she's got quite a good chance, actually, and 14s would underestimate it.
14 to one outside of Between the Sheets. Okay, finally for the TV action, the 2:45, the British Stallions EBF Chalice Stakes. It's the listed race for fillies and mares over a mile and a half, 10 run. The favourite is Save a Forest at 130, and then it's Seda at fours, along with Yes Yes. Invite is six, Portfolio 15-2, and it's 12-1 bar, which brings in Sherbet Lemon. Let me see, Keith, you can go first here.
Yeah, I like one here. I like Invite on our first start for Andrew Balding. She used to be in Marco Botti and was second to Save a Forest on her handicap debut before she won by 10 lengths at Donny and soft ground off a mark of 80. They sent her, actually, well, Botti sent her to the Italian Oaks after that, and I watched a replay of that this morning. She just pulls far too hard in that race, and she's beaten 4 1/4 lengths in a group two, and would have been a lot closer had she settled a little better. Whether she'll cope with a mile and a half is a little bit of a doubt. I mean, the dam's Katira, who was third in the Opera, I think, quite a few years ago now. So the pedigree is very much middle distance. And if she's able to stretch out to a mile and a half at this stage of her career, I think she's got a smashing chance. And yeah, I think I've got 7-1 on my screen. That's very much a price worth taking.
Right, you are. Invite for Keith. Who for Tom?
It's going to be Yes Yes. I think she's the most intriguing horse in the field, though again, it's a very wide open race. I just love how Rafe Beckett campaigns his young horses. He's campaigned Yes Yes brilliantly so far. She's clearly needed time and a trip. She drew away from a good field on debut as well. She beat Eileen Dover, who everyone will know is a good smart bumper performer. Recent winner Thousand Oaks was back in third, so that form stacks up. She was impressive again earlier this month, again on rain, soft and ground, so any rain will help Yes Yes. The extra half a furlong was suit. And what interests me most about Yes Yes is that she still holds an entry in the St. Ledger, albeit I don't think she would get anywhere near in the Classic. But the fact that she's still in there at this stage suggests that Rafe Beckett thinks Yes Yes is capable of performing at group level. And if that's the case, off just 8 stone 8, she gets weight from the elders. I think she's going to run a good race on her third start here.
He's the greatest trainer ever, isn't he, King Rafe? Don't you agree, Tom? If you won the lottery, okay, and you went out and said, right, I'm going to buy a yearling for 200 grand, who would you put it in training with?
Rafe Beckett would be very high on my list. I have to say, I am a big fan of him. Maybe Sir Michael Stout if I wanted to be in the long run. It depends what filly, but Rafe Beckett would be very high up there.
Okay, what about you, Keith? Same question.
Yeah, it would depend on the sort of horse you're buying, but I probably would go William Haggis, actually.
Oh, would you? Oh, fair enough. Yeah. Jolly good. Okay, that's the TV action done and dusted. What else do the lads fancy? Let's see what else we've got. We've got the rest of Goodwood and Newmarket, obviously. It's day 38 of the Galway Festival. We've got Doncaster, we've got Hamilton, we've got Lingfield, and there's a bit of American action. Keith, have you got anything else for us, or are you going to keep your powder dry?
Weirdly, this week, there's all the, obviously, staying races, the ones I'm watching, and all of those races are on the telly this week. It's the Lily Lantry and the Summer Handicap at Goodwood. Even the Chester Marathon on Sunday isn't actually over my distance. It's a mile 4.5. So there's no other races that I really have much of an interest in, so there's nothing for me.
Okay, I bet Tom's got something. I bet he's in America, and I bet he's gonna give us the big one about how he's on TV again. Loves that. Come on, Tom.
Yeah, I am. I'm on Stateside Saturday and Sunday for anyone that wants to tune into the US action. To be fair, it's a very good weekend of racing at Saratoga and Del Mar. There's Grade 1 racing, the Vanderbilt at Saratoga, the Bing Crosby at Del Mar. So that's just on Saturday. The best bet of the night is going to be Royal Spirit, though, in an extended mile maiden special weight contest at Saratoga. 8:55, race 6 on the card. Todd Pletcher's going really well at the moment so far in this meeting. He's booked leading rider Ira Ortiz, which is always a positive, especially on an unraced juvenile. The colt costs $450,000. He's a son of Inter Mischief, who is the leading stallion in the US right now. He has the best book of mares next year. Phenomenal book. He's like the Galileo over here, or the Frank, or whatever you want to relate him to. The works for Royal Spirit have been really good, especially a 7 furlong work, which you don't often see for an unraced newcomer, but that should have him spot on for his debut. And then one more, if you just want one for a combination bet, a short price favorite, essential quality, the highlight of the night, Belmont Stakes winner, 4th in the Kentucky Derby, 6 from 7 in his career, leading 3-year-old in the States. He runs in the Jim Dandy, the Grade 2 Jim Dandy at Saratoga. I can't even remember what time it was right now.
It's 10:39.
Oh, you've had a look, Bruce. You've had a look at the US action. I'm proud.
I'm used to having to do your two's housework. Don't worry. Yeah, 10:39.
Lovely. Yeah, I think he'll be one for combination bets. He's going to be a short price, but I'll be very surprised
What's
if he loses.
What's it called again, Tom?
Essential quality. And the nap is Royal Spirit, US nap. Royal Spirit in the 8:55, race 6 at Saratoga.
Okay. Tom mentioned the sweet spot earlier. If you're wondering what that is our weekly golf show. It's on every Tuesday. It's myself and Steve Palmer. And talking of Steve Palmer.
This will not be beaten.
Here are the Saturday naps. I'm going to go with Keith Melrose.
Yeah, I mean, some naps are stronger than others. That's the caveat this week. There's nothing this week that's getting 5-point treatment. I think it might be inviting the 245 at Newmarket.
Righty-ho. And Thomas?
Mine's going to be an each-way nap. Miras, 340 at Goodwood. I'll be surprised if he's out of the frame in the Stewards Cup.
340 at Goodwood. Excellent. That's the Stewards Cup. What was your highlight of Goodwood for the first 3 days, lads? Keith, what was it for you?
Leedy Bothrop's the obvious one. It was great to see Alan King get his Group 1 win on the flat, actually, because I think I've said on a show yesterday, I think King didn't see himself as a true due purpose trainer until he had that Group 1 on the flat. It was good to see him get that because he deserves that recognition.
Excellent. And what about you, Tom?
I think my highlight is finding the future Gimcrack, maybe Middle Park and Commonwealth Cup winner in perfect power. I thought he was very eye-catching yesterday behind Asymmetric in the Richmond. He looks a horse that's going to be improving for every start. I think he'll win the Gimcrack. I think currently around 5-1 for that race next month, and then the Middle Park after that.
Brilliant. Thank you very much indeed, gents. Right, that was short and sweet. Hopefully plenty of winners in there. Good luck with all your bets this weekend. Hope you enjoy the final day of Goodwood. It's great to have fans back, and it'll be great to have Maddie back on Monday for another podcast. We're back next Friday, looking ahead to next weekend. Hope you can join us for that.